WebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning, America, and welcome to America's Web Radio, your conservative opinion, 24-7. And I want to thank a lady that wrote in to Chuck Cook. He does the Immigration Hour, and she is an immigrant. She immigrated from England, from the UK, and is getting her citizenship. She's in her third year of waiting, and she has about two more years to go before she can become a U.S. citizen. But she wrote the sweetest letter, and quite extensive, really, thanking Charles for what he'd done, obviously, for her and getting her citizenship and getting everything processed, because it is quite a process in the U.S. But she also was very complimentary towards me in a show that Charles and I did discussing immigration and politics and so forth, and she was just very, very nice, and those kind of emails we don't get as often as I'd like. We get the emails, why did you do this, why did you do that, or you're wrong, and this is why, and so forth and so on, but I'm not going to mention her name because I don't have her permission to, but if she's listening, she was very sweet and excuse me. Part of her email, though, was she said she obviously won't be able to vote this time, but she'll be able to vote the next time for a president and in the general election. And she was saying that it's been quite interesting watching the Republicans and the Democrats go through their process, and that she really sort of agreed with all of us that, you know, out of 330 million people, this is the best we can do. Anyway, her letter was very interesting. If she's listening, I wanted to thank her for it. And
what nationality is she?
She's from the UK, English.
Oh, English.
Yes.
So, okay, well, good morning, America. This is the other half of the Dan and Dave show. And I'm reading the Wall Street Journal this morning, which has no information that I can determine that I want to talk about. I was looking for information, Dave, news topics that we could talk about. The best thing I see here is a really great article about Steph Curry, the basketball player at Golden State. And that's the best article that I can come away with. But I tell you, that guy is lighting them up.
I
know you're not
know
particularly a basketball fan, nor am I anymore. I used
is
to
he
be,
the one that just scored like 55 points in a game last night or day before yesterday or something?
Yeah. The Golden State team was behind the Oklahoma team 13 or 17 points in the fourth quarter, and then Steph Curry let him up, and I think he walked away with 50 points or something like that. He's phenomenal, and you know, he's not a big stud looking guy like some of these guys are. To me, he looks kind of thin, and he doesn't look that tall, and he looks kind of he enjoys the game. I like him. I think he's great for the game. My segue into politics is that I wish we had a Steph Curry running for president. I really need to vote for somebody that can hit the three-point shot.
It's degraded itself. Is that a degraded
itself. Could be a word. I know you went to Texas Tech. Yeah. I'm going to forgive you on that.
Well, it's that word's hidden under some rock out there. But anyway, the degradation of this political race, it's embarrassing. And this lady addressed, that wrote the letter, addressed some of this. It's really, and Trump, you got to fault him for starting it. You know, after Obama was elected, people pointed out his frailties as far as big ears and big mouth and this and that and so forth, which, you know, that's sort of political cartooning. But, you know, Trump has kept it personal most of the way, which I don't know that that accomplishes anything. You can have your thoughts about something or you can have your thoughts about somebody, but I'm not sure in a political race that's where it needs to go. In fact, I know it's not where it needs to go. It needs to be on the issues and talking about the issues. And I'm very sick and tired of hearing the three main players in the Republicans, you know, addressing the issues. Well, they're not addressing the issues, or if they even sort of come close, well, then they're calling each other liars and all of this kind of stuff. As far as on the Democratic side, you know, they're just pumping out hot air and wishes that if anybody has any sense, they can see through it in a heartbeat. So I just posted on Facebook asking if anybody else was as sick and tired of it as I am.
Beyond the pale.
Yeah.
You know, we've heard more than we should, and the Republican candidates, if they want to lead my country, they need to be leaders, and I don't expect my leaders to be, you know, accusing each other of having big ears and wearing too much makeup.
Yeah. I mean, that's just...
Come on.
Switching a little bit, what do you think of your... And I know you voted for him twice. Your president going to sing Kumbaya with the Castros.
I think his wife probably wanted to see Havana before their power trip was over.
Is she even going?
You know, I don't know. I don't know, but I've noticed her in the last three or four video clips of them together, and she's dressing very nice. I got to hand that to her. Her style has turned up a little bit. A little bit more modern.
If you had the taxpayers paying for your dresses, you'd dress nicely too.
I suspect that's exactly what's going on, you know. Somebody said, show me the money, and she took it.
Yeah.
You know, she said, that's mine. No, I think he can go to Cuba. After all, we're friends with Cuba now, I guess. You know, I thought he said before he announced that he was going to go to Cuba that he wasn't going to shut down Gitmo, and now he's all over Gitmo again. And you know, maybe Gitmo should be shut down. You know, maybe what he says is true. I don't know. It's so hard to know. It's so hard. It's getting harder and harder for me to know what's true, because there's so much misrepresentation on the internet. And, you know, I'm reading a lot of blogs. I'm reading news clips here and there. And maybe it's not true. Maybe a lot of stuff's not true.
Well, it's sort of like, I don't know what it's sort of like. The politicians all lie, in my opinion. Talking about trying to figure out who's telling or who's not lying is almost impossible. We're just, you know, again, this is only my opinion. We've gotten so far away from our foundation morally and ethically and spiritually and, any other LY you can come up with, that it's, we're in a sad state of affairs, and I don't know that the embargo and blockade of Cuba for 20 years or 30 years, 40 or 50 years, however many years it's been, 50 years, I guess. Has done any good, but at the same token, I'm not sure it's done any bad. And if you're not old enough to remember the Bay of Pigs, if you're not old enough to remember, talking about a big liar was Castro. When he came in, he said he wasn't going to be communist until he came in, and then all of a sudden, poof, he was communist when he was getting rid of Batista. But, you know, the president going, do we need Guantanamo? Yeah, I think we do. And whether he should not give away the naval base there. That, I think, would be a horrendous mistake on Obama's part, and I think that would be the straw that hopefully broke the Congress's back, and they would do something. Closing Guantanamo, the prison, Guantanamo Bay, the prison, maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
Well, what is there other than the prison? I don't hear much talk about that.
Geez, we've got several trillion dollars worth of naval base that is... it is our jumping off point for the rest of the Mediterranean and or not Mediterranean, but the South America, and it is a it's a deep water naval base as well, so it can handle anything that we've got. It is a huge, huge asset to the United States, and we've got a lease on it to perpetuity. You know, forever and ever. And it takes both sides. Obviously, the Cubans would love to have it back. They would have a naval base second to none in the world. But the lease states that both countries have to agree to give up the lease. And certainly, Cuba has always wanted us to give up the lease, and we've always said, take it and jump. Well, I don't know the legalities of it, whether Obama, through executive order, really has the power, or if it would, hopefully, it would have to be done through Senate approval.
I'm kind of vaguely aware that there's a naval base at Guantanamo, but when I hear you talk, I'm thinking, you know, this is an important strategic military outpost.
It has.
You know, we should protect it. But that's not what I hear in the news. All I hear in the news is prison, and you know it's making our enemy bolder and stronger, and it gives them something to talk about.
What a crock!
I don't know what the difference is in having those people at Guantanamo prison or having them at Leavenworth prison. I don't know if that's going to make our enemy feel any better. Or do we just need to release those guys and say,
so you can
have them back.
So they can come back
to
kill us.
Uh-huh.
And, 30% that have been released are back in active warfare now?
Yeah, sure.
And how many millions of dollars have we spent on catching them and putting them in Guantanamo? No, I thoroughly, as one, support the next break that's going to happen in about 2 seconds. You're listening to America's Web Radio. We'll be back arguing Guantanamo right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government as well as those involved in legal cases have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on America's Web Radio, the Dan and Dave Show, live and direct from Atlanta, Georgia, and the left coast, Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, I'm listening if nobody else is. You know, if you're listening to the program, raise your right hand. And stand up and turn around in a circle. Okay.
That was real stupid.
I don't know. I thought I felt something, but maybe not.
That's your breath bouncing back off your microphone. But anyway, back to Guantanamo. I am a big supporter of keeping the naval base and, in fact, keeping... How many, you know, the other side of the coin with Guantanamo, and we have heard a very small amount of it, but I have all the respect. I wouldn't have the patience. They would never send me as a guard to Guantanamo, maybe as one of the prisoners, but not as a guard. Those guys that have served their year at Guantanamo, and many of them have been National Guard MP units that have been called up to be the guards there. They have put up with everything. About the first time you throw at me some of the stuff that's been thrown at them, you'd be dead. I wouldn't take it. And those towel head bastards that want to kill us have done everything. I mean, it's just beyond your imagination. And, you know, I totally support keeping the prison. I totally support, beyond that, certainly keeping the naval base. As for the prison, how many, other than Obama letting them escape under the guise of his executive order, how many of the terrorists have ever escaped from Guantanamo?
I would say none.
You win. You get the fish of the day.
All right.
They don't escape from Guantanamo. And yet, we have spent millions and millions on the towel heads there, appeasing the muzzes so they can have a soccer field and so they have a selection of three Muslim meals for each meal. They have a selection of, do you want, I'd give them all pork every day and see how fast they'd kill them, personally. But they're treated like saints.
You have some strong feelings there, my friend.
They're treated like saints on your tax dollar. You know? And they're prisoners. They want to kill you. They want to kill us.
I thought they got waterboarded every day. That's not true.
Oh, no. They might get hurt. And that's not nice to hurt a prisoner that wants to kill you or the one that came up with the plan to kill 3,000 in the World Trade Center towers he's Islam, and that's a loving religion, and so we shouldn't do anything bad to him. You know how far that would go with me and John Wayne?
Well, how many prisoners are at Gitmo now? Do you know?
We're down to 65.
65?
Obama has been giving them away like they were candy. And
well,
only the worst of the worst, baddest of the bad remain. And I say it's down to 65. It was down to 91, and he gave out another 30. They're supposed to be leaving shortly, so we're in the high 50s to low 60 range.
Well, we're paying quite a bit per captive, aren't we, then, in maintenance fees and other costs.
How much are those 3,000 people that died in the World Trade Center, how much are they worth?
Well,
the difference between you and me and a lot of other rednecks is that, like the one that they got, the guy that planned the World Trade Center, that boy would be trying to find his 72 virgins right now. You know, there'd be no questions about that. And any of the rest of them that had killed any of our people, no, and we knew exactly what he, she, or it had done, they'd be dead. War is war, and you kill them. You don't let them go back. And that may sound, I don't care what it sounds like. That's what you do to them. You kill them.
It looks like, with regard to number, that about 800 people have passed through Gitmo's cells, and there's about 91 remaining. So
that's what I said.
Your number of 61 or whatever is pretty close to that. I thought it was quite a few more than that.
No, that's 91, but the 30 of them have already been tapped on the head to be leaving shortly by your president. So it'll be down to 60-something.
Okay. Well, I think those 31 ought to have a party at the White House. And
without White House guards.
Obama doesn't like guns, so no guns allowed except for the terrorists. This could end up okay.
Yeah. Can we promote that?
No, I don't think it would fly.
How could we ensure that that would happen?
Ensure that it would happen?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think we want to ensure things like that. I think there's laws against what we're even thinking about. Anyway, I don't think, when I think Gitmo, I just think of the prison. I don't think of the military base. I could say, yeah, let's change the prison, let's get rid of it, let's do whatever we need to do there, but certainly let's keep the military base. We have a strategic reason there. And the prisoners at Gitmo, let's put them up in Saudi Arabia or something. I don't know.
They just let them go, and they go right back.
Just let them go. Yeah.
Then they go back to killing us. My personal vote is for shooting them, but I'm not a nice person either. So
well,
I want to segue
what would,
into
what would Putin do?
That there would be we there wouldn't be a topic to talk about. They would have been long gone.
That's what I'm thinking.
Wouldn't have to worry about making a decision, or they'd be gone. Okay, another thing I wanted to address, and this is a warning. This is as blatant and as blunt as I can get, and I think I get pretty blatant and blunt sometimes, but this is a warning to everybody that's listening, particularly if you're past the age of 55, particularly if you're past the age of 60 and or past 65. Your insurance company is coming for you, and if you rely wholly on Medicare, They've already got you. I want to give an example. A friend husband, and I wasn't aware of the how ghastly this can be and how tragic it can be, but the husband is in his almost mid-70s, but he is suffering from a very severe case of lost testosterone and is losing it daily, and he's lost 40 pounds in the process. And this just happened, I don't want to say overnight, but fairly recently, and within a couple of months he had lost 40 pounds. He's at the point he can't really take care of himself. And there's a very simple, not cure, but a very simple remedy to his problems, and that is to take testosterone, which I'm trying to find out how expensive it is. I don't know off the top of my head. But his insurance company, and I don't know, he's not strictly on Medicare. He's on Blue Cross Blue Shield with Medicare as a backup. But in the case of Blue Cross Blue Shield, they won't pay for the prescription that the doctor is gladly writing because they say he only wants it for personal pleasure. His doctor will write, and his doctor has fought him that, no, this guy is dying because he's losing his testosterone at a rapid rate, and he needs supplemental help. What the insurance, it boils down to one thing, and folks, you better get used to this if we continue under this system, and hopefully we won't. We'll rebel and get things changed. But if we continue under this system, your doctor's not taking care of you. Your doctor's not making the ultimate decision. Your insurance company is deciding whether you live or die. I don't want my insurance company deciding whether I live or die. It's none of their damn business. If I can be healed or if I can live better because a doctor can take care of me, then that's what the insurance should pay for. It's not the insurance company's right, in my opinion, to decide whether it's hospice time or you live, you die. You're too old to pay taxes. You're not important to us anymore. So it's time for you to fold the flag. No. No. I'm not a believer in long-term on the ventilator for years and years or feeding tubes and all that. But at the same time, it should be my decision or my family's decision, not the insurance company's decision.
Well, yeah, neither one of us are fans of Obamacare. However, I just pulled up an article. This is in Forbes, and it's a study by the McKinsey Center for U.S. Health System and Reform, which I take it is a pretty good research center, and one of the facts that they point out is that 65% of existing policies, insurance policies, will see an increase in premium costs for 2015. The median increase will only be 4%.
That on top of, oh, it'll cost you less and you can keep your doctor too?
Well, say that again.
We've all seen our medical insurance has gone through the roof, and now you're saying there's going to be a 4% increase on top of what was already an increase with less. You got less for a lot more money, and now it's going up another 4%. You didn't get to keep your doctor necessarily, so this is just adding salt to an open wound. Which is the segue into saying it's time for a break.
Well, let's break it.
We'll break it and come back and fix it on the other side. We'll be back right after this.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
When four members of Congress all die within 4 months, each of their deaths appears to be from natural causes. But when mysterious messages begin to appear in the form of quotations from long-dead revolutionary heroes, one reporter sets out to prove the existence of a serial killer. His search discovers dark secrets and an assassin shielded by people who need the very services that only he can provide. The Sun Silas Rising, a novel by Doug Dahlgren. On Kindle or paperback through Amazon.com.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's D-O-C-S, the number 4, patientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we are designed just for you. And you don't know how tough it was taking 330 million people and designing radio just for each one of them. That's why it took us a long time to get on the air. We were trying to design this just for you. Now, as your presidential candidate...
I took that to mean that you, out of 330 million, you were hoping that we could entertain just one person.
Well, that's about it, too.
I mean, we have a 1 in 330 million chance. Or, no, that's not
audience.
Right. Yeah.
Hell, if we didn't talk to ourselves, we wouldn't have anybody listening.
Hello?
That's not true.
Dave? Are you there?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Can I hear you? No, I can't hear you at all. Oh, well, somebody loves us somewhere, I think. Wouldn't swear to it. So anyway, insurance companies are out to get you, folks, and they're doing a pretty good job of it, and they have massaged us as citizens, with the government's help, into being one of the biggest charades ever. And one of the biggest cons ever on the general public. I laugh, and yet it's sad that the government can fine you for not having insurance. And I think now it's up to $690-something if you don't take their Obamacare this year. And then at the same token, you have to prove that you have insurance from somebody else. If that's not Big Brother stepping in your pile, I don't know what it is.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we should do a whole program on Obamacare and insurance. I think Obamacare is not perfect. Some would argue that Obamacare is not perfect, but it's, you know, it's better than what we had. I think there's a lot of arguments that could be made for that. We do have an additional 16 million people that are insured now that weren't insured before Obamacare.
You can twist that number around. You have a lot that are uninsured because of Obamacare.
Well, I wonder how many have fallen out and how many have... opted in.
And of those 16 million, you'll find that as the year goes on, they opt in so they don't have to pay the fine, and then they drop out after a couple of months. That 16 million is an Obama number, an exaggeration of the truth.
Well, it could be. We're certainly aware that people exaggerate. Oh, brother. Today is Monday, and I'm already tired.
Oh, by the way, happy leap year, Monday.
Yeah, happy leap year, yeah, and happy Super Tuesday tomorrow. It's going to be a super day.
It should be interesting.
Yeah.
However, I think it's, I don't know. I think it's all over with the Shining, so to speak. I wish I could say I think it's going to be interesting. I don't think it's going to be that interesting, actually.
I don't think there's going to be very many surprises, and I think the Republican Party is scared to death that Donald Trump is going to walk away with this thing, and, you know, that Donald might just quit the Republican Party and do his own thing. He's a different kind of cat, man. You can't put him in a bag. He's going to be his own guy. What do you think about this controversy with him and the KKK?
He says he misunderstood and that, no, he doesn't want their endorsement now. I guess my question comes back to what we talked about first. And I'm not sure how we wrangle our way back into politics, but since you did, my comment on that is...
That's my bad.
Yeah, you're bad. My feelings on it, quite frankly... The KKK compared to terrorists coming across our border, terrorists having dirty bombs, terrorists having weapons of mass destruction in the form of gases and so forth. That's a whole lot bigger issue. And the economy and the price of oil, the EPA being a bunch of crooks, the IRS being the Gestapo, that's a hell of a lot more important than... an organization that I doubt has 1,000 members today. It's sort of like supporting Al Sharpton. The KKK and Al Sharpton are about the same, in my feelings, about the same strength. They're nothing. They really weren't anything at their peak, but. As far as I'm concerned, in a presidential race when our country's in the shape that it's in, that is so below my thinking that, you know, it shouldn't be an issue. It shouldn't even be on television, you know? It's not an issue.
Well, it's an issue for a lot of different reasons. It's an issue not because of what they... are doing now, but it's an issue of what they did 100 years ago, 50 years ago.
Bingo. What damn difference does it make today compared to the terrorists that are trying to kill you?
Well, I would agree. I think ISIS is a bigger issue, but KKK is still an issue. And it seemed like Donald kind of stumbled over an answer. I don't know if he was taken by surprise with the question. I'm not even sure why the issue came up. I think it's because of something that he said 20 or 30 years ago.
No, it was at whatever his name is, David Knight or whatever the hell his name is. It's supposed to be
David Duke.
David Duke, the Grand Poopah or whatever, said he was going to endorse Donald Trump.
Okay.
And that's when all the bull started hitting the fan. You know, I don't care. He can endorse anybody he wants. Or Trump can say, I don't want his endorsement. He's the leader of nothing. And that's what people should understand.
So it's irrelevant to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's irrelevant compared to everything else. And for the media to blow smoke about it is just showing how stupid they are. They should be pressing for what are you going to do about the EPA? What are you going to do about our economy? What are you going to do about the terrorists? Let's get serious on some of the issues. The one thing that Trump has said recently that made any sense whatsoever, in my opinion, was that, you know, they were trying to pin him down on who his running mate might be, and he wouldn't come forth with a name, but he did say it would be someone that knew the system, probably some type of an insider that knew how to work the system in D.C. By the way, did you notice that Huckabee's daughter has gone to work for Trump?
Oh, that's interesting. I did not.
She had been Huckabee's campaign manager and had worked on several other campaigns. And then after Huckabee drops out, well, she becomes an advisor to Trumpy.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. Huh. I wonder if that's with her father's blessings.
Well, I'm sure it is. You know. So I don't know. I'm like I said, like we said from the beginning of the show, I'm sick of it all already. And we're not even
we're just
2 months in.
Day before Super Tuesday, yeah.
And they're,
I think Hillary will definitely be the nominee for her party.
You know,
I haven't
that
heard
dollar
anything
that,
about the email.
You know that dollar that keeps floating back and forth between Portland and Atlanta?
Yeah.
My dollar says she will not be the Democratic nominee.
Well, it was interesting that last night Biden made kind of a cameo appearance on the Oscars.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he looked, I thought he looked very presidential, except he kind of stumbled over his lines. I thought, okay, Joe, now you can ad lib, and I wonder what you're going to say.
Huh.
But he looked good at a tux. I tell you, he's a fox. He, you know, silver hair and black tux on the stage with the light on him. He looked good. He looked very presidential.
Is that dollar on the way to me? Is that what you're saying?
No. I think Hillary's going to be the nominee. I think the Republicans have a real problem pushing the email campaign against her any further than they have. And I don't think the FBI is going to want to affect a presidential nomination. I just can't believe that the FBI or the Justice Department either are going to do anything that negatively affects the election of Hillary Clinton. I'll put it that way.
Well, my boy, put your money where your mouth is.
And the clock is ticking. The closer to the election we get, you know, if the FBI comes up with some serious charges, right, hands it off to the Justice Department, it's in September. Holy shit, you know, you can't just scrub the party's candidate for president 2 months before the election.
And the reason is?
Well, they won't do it. It would be too big a hit to the American political system.
They're going to do it the end of April, before June, sometime between the end of April and before June. So in May to sometime in June, maybe even the end of April, that's when, you know, and this is after she has basically won the nomination, because Sanders will have bitten the bullet. And she's won all the electoral votes, or the primary people.
She's practically there now, yeah.
Yeah, so, but mark my word, put your money where your mouth is. I've got my dollar ready. if I'm wrong, but I'm not going to be wrong, it's going to be Biden. They're going to realize that you know, they show all of this great support for Hillary and all this. Well, I don't know how many I've been in situations at these great. Well, oops, it's time to take a break. We'll be back with this thought right after this.
The United States Justice Foundation, since 1979, has been dedicated to instructing, informing, and educating the public on legal issues confronting America. That means you and me. When necessary, this nonprofit organization has had to litigate to present the constitutional view. Since 1980, USJF has submitted testimony to the U.S. Senate on all but one U.S. Supreme Court nominee. Learn more about USJF by visiting their website at www.usjf.net. Support this nonprofit as it defends our rights, our liberty, and our Constitution.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on America's Web Radio and the classic car show. This is the classic, what is it, Dan and Dave show.
It's Monday morning, folks.
And there's an extra Monday this month, so that's why I'm tired. There was only supposed to be 28, and they threw in a fifth one.
Tomorrow's March. I can't believe it's already March. Holy mackerel.
The older we get, the faster it goes. That's applicable to so many things. The older we get, the faster it goes. Now, we won't go there.
Well, I tell you. Yeah.
So, no, I think Mr. Biden will be
the president. You'd like to be back in Texas Tech, wouldn't you? I mean, if we could turn back time.
We would
go back and...
Would I ever? A lot of things I could... If I knew then what I know now, I would certainly make a lot of changes. Some things I wouldn't, but many things I would.
It's hard to know. Hard to know what I would do. Fortunately, I don't have to make that decision, nor do you.
Oh, I haven't told you the good news? No. I have found a fountain of youth.
You found it, baby.
I found it. It's in this.
What were we talking about before the break? It seems like it was extraordinarily interesting, as is everything that's talked about.
And we were going to come back and finish up talking about it, but I forgot what it was.
Yeah, what was that?
Well,
hit the replay switch. It could have been Hillary. It could have been Joe Biden. It could have been something about a bet.
Yeah, well, I think Biden will be our next president. And you were talking about, you know, watching him on the Oscars last night. They're prepping him. They're like you made a very good point, whether you realize it or not. But they're subtly keeping his name. In fact, you sort of have heard more about him recently than you did in the past 8 to 10 months, you know. They're they're keeping his name out. You're right. And they're keeping it out there for
in a very controlled way, too. He's scripted.
Yeah.
He's on script. He's not the freewheeling Joe Biden that we all know and love. He's reading his script. And he looked good on stage with his tux, like I said. He just looked great.
Looked rather
How
presidential.
Old is Joe? Is he 70?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Joe's older than, I think Joe's older than Sanders. And Sanders is 74. Yeah, I think Joe's up in his
70s. Well, Joe just looked great. I mean, his hair was combed. And
what hair he has left.
Ah.
I cannot. This is something that, I said you shouldn't pick on the individual character. But I can remember when Joe, and this must have been, 20, 24 years ago when he ran for office for president. Look that up while you're resting. I can't remember when it was, but old Joe had just had a hair transplant, and whether he was coming or going, you could see the little plugs in his scalp where they hadn't filled in yet, and if he went the other way, you could see where they had deplugged him in the back, and he was a piece of work when he was running. Like I said, it must have been 20 years ago. It may have been 30 years ago.
No, I got the pictures right here. He had a clean top.
Yeah.
He had a little bit on the sides, but nothing on top.
Yep. That was old Joe.
I don't know when that was.
He was in the Senate and decided to run for president. I almost think it was back, it may have been as far back as the 60s, and he was running, going to run against Nixon or something, opposed to the Vietnam War. I can't remember the date, but every time I see him, I see those plugs that he had in his head for getting his hair transplanted.
Uh-huh. Well, you're right. The pictures are there.
Old Joe. Uncle Joe. He's going to take care of the country. I'm just going to run for one term. Now, what did I just say? How many terms? That's all I'm going to run for anyway. And he's going to run, and he's going to be your next president. What did you see that stupid idiot on what's that show called, The Vision or The V or something? I don't know. With Whoopi and all the rest of the stupid idiots. I bought my ticket to Canada if any one of those Republicans get nominated. Nominated is one thing. Elected might be something else. But since you're thinking about going to Canada, why don't you just go ahead and go now?
Pack up and go.
Yeah. You don't like it. You don't like it here. You don't like the way we do things. Just, take your family, good riddance. Get out of here.
let me say something that's going to really set your hair on fire. Hillary's pretty tough. She's weathered a lot of storms. She is she has the scars of battle. Don't you think she might make a pretty good president?
No.
Just no? You just like that?
Yep.
Well, I was just thinking in my little mind that, she's had the best experience. She does understand women much, much, much better than somebody like Donald Trump. Just seems like she would, she might be.
How can you make a statement like that? She understands women.
Well, she is a woman. I know it's hard to tell sometimes, but. She is a woman.
There's a difference in saying, that she is a woman and she understands women. No, she has no concept of a mother. She has no and I realize, yes, she has, Chelsea. How many bottles did she ever feed Chelsea, I wonder? I think I have more understanding of women than Hillary does. She has no idea about the mother, the single mother, the mother with that has a husband that takes care of the house. How many vacuums has that stupid bitch ever run? You know, what has she ever done really? Nothing. She's the only person ever on a on an impeachment panel, working for attorneys on an impeachment panel that was fired for lying. This lady is a habitual liar. She can't tell the truth. And as far as knowing women, the only thing that she has in common is maybe between her legs. That's about it. She doesn't.
Well, now, hold on there. Hold on. They'll still go below the belt.
But
let's keep this clean and fair and balanced.
You tell me. You know, I know your lovely wife. You know my wife. You tell me one thing that Hillary has in common with your wife.
Well, they are both mothers. I mean, you, the quality of that statement might be worlds apart, but they are both mothers. They are both women. They've gone through life growing up as a girl and, suffering the flings and arrows that us men have done to young women, you know, the bad things that guys do to girls. She's weathered all that stuff. And she's come through in one piece, and she's bright. She can stand up for herself. She's tough. I just think with her perspective, you know, she might have a lot to offer.
Now, I just don't buy into that. So
yeah, I know.
Anyway.
I don't either. It's kind of a stretch for me to say that, but I'm just trying to be...
You're trying to piss me off, get me in a bad mood, right?
Yeah, I'm just trying to piss you off, that's right.
Well, you did, and I may have to hang up on you in about two more minutes.
You have it too easy over there in Georgia. Yeah, so Super Tuesday is tomorrow. Do you vote by mail, or do you go down? No, you have to go down to the precinct, don't you?
We go to our, I happen to go to the precinct, yeah, but it happens to be in an elementary school that's fairly close to the house, so that's where I'd be going. And
are there a lot of other local issues, or is this all national?
quite frankly, and I hate to admit to this, but I don't know if there are other.
Yeah, I don't either.
In the city, in the city of Atlanta, there are some other issues, but. That I know of, but they don't affect us. So, if they're local issues, I honestly don't know, and I'm ashamed to say that I don't know, because I would like to be a better citizen than that.
There's a lot to keep up on, and in the year of national elections, everything is focused towards one race. There's nothing else out there about local state issues.
That's true.
It all goes away.
And with that being said, my friend, it's time to put the plug in the jug.
We're going to go away, huh?
We're going to go down and...
You're going to cancel the Dan part of the Dan and Dave show now that I've come out and told you I'm going to vote for Hillary?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, that's it. It's over with. It's time to put the plug in the jug and move on down the street. Stay tuned for the NSPS Hour, all about land surveying. And we've got I know Kurt has some great guests lined up, so it should be a good show. Dan, thank you as always. It's been enjoyable. I'm sure we'll talk later in the day, and you'll be chastised.
I don't know about that, but...
If I were you, I wouldn't answer the phone.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks,
okay.
Brother.
We'll see you.